All right. How many of you guys glad to be in the house of God today? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you have your word, if you have the Bible, if you open up to John 15 again, just keep it there. Let me look at the word of God today. Hallelujah. All right, hallelujah. You know, I love fruit. Woo! I love fruit. How many guys in here love fruit? You know, I'm really hoping that the FTA thing, it gets passed soon. Because a lot of fruit in Korea is just way overpriced, you know what I mean? I mean, I just go out to buy like a bunch of grapes and I'm broke, you know? I don't think that's right. I hope the FTA thing gets approved soon. How many of you guys love fruit? What kind of fruits do you guys love? Guys, right, shout it out.
Watermelon.
Woo! Strawberries. Somebody say mangoes? Yeah. I didn't know how much I love mangoes until I went to the Philippines. Our Philippines, woo, some mangoes. That is the fruit of heaven. Hallelujah. How many of you guys like durian? It's another kind of fruit. All right, we got one brother. God bless you, brother. A couple of people actually back there. Durian. Actually, you guys, if you know anything about durian, durian is a fruit in like China and Singapore that's really popular. And it's got a really hard exterior. It's like spiky and hard. And then when you cut it open, you got to like really cut it open. It smells like feet. It smells really bad. But, you know, some people really like durian because, you know, it's a fruit. And I think fruit is the equivalent of God's candy. Amen? Amen. You know, we got man-made candy, or we got God-made candy, and it's fruit, and it's good. And like this kind of candy, it doesn't cause any cavities, all right? It's actually good for your body. Fruit is often pleasing to the eye. It nourishes the body, and it even removes toxins from your body. All right, fruit is good. Our brother Danny knows all about the fruit. You know, when we were in India, He kept asking, you know, when can we get some fruit, some fresh fruit? Because this boy knows about fruit, you know, because fruit is got God's candy. It's good. Now, many of us here, we love fruit. But did you know that God loves fruit too? God loves him some fruit. And God loves fruit. I'm going to ask your neighbor that. Turn to your neighbor and ask him, did you know God loves fruit? I'm going to ask him. You might be like, well, Christian, I don't know about that. Where does it say in the Bible, God loves fruit? All right? I'll show you. At the beginning of creation, when God created Adam and Eve, God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. When God, after he flooded the world and destroyed it, he came to Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful. When God came to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, God said to Abraham, no longer will you be called Abram, but your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father to many nations. And I will make you very fruitful. Hallelujah. And in Genesis chapter 35, God comes to Jacob and says to him, your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Now be fruitful. Be fruitful. Hallelujah. God loves to change people's names. Hallelujah. And I'm glad he changed my name from Suk Young to Christian when I was in seventh grade. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But he loves to change names. And God loves fruit. God loves fruit. And from the beginning of time to every generation until today, God has commanded us, be fruitful. Brothers and sisters, be fruitful because God loves fruit. Hallelujah. You know, someone might say to me, you know, if you actually read the Old Testament text, you might be saying, Christian, when God said be fruitful, isn't he talking about just having lots of babies? Right? Isn't that what he meant? By be fruitful? Right? Well, yes, I will agree. That is a sound, I think, reading of the text. All right, be fruitful. And I personally, I'm fully committed to heed this all-important instruction of the Lord. All right? Hallelujah. But the term, be fruitful, has deeper meaning than just having offspring with kids. I believe having lots and lots of offspring, all right, it gives us a clue to the deeper meaning of the word fruitful. All right? Hallelujah. How many of you guys want lots and lots of kids? You want to be fruitful. Hallelujah. All right, Brother David, God bless you. And Sister Crystal, God bless you. Hallelujah. Be fruitful. Right? Some of you guys in here want to have lots and lots of kids. Some of you just want to have one kid. Oh, that's enough. You know, just one, that's enough. If you remember the promise that God made to Abraham when God appeared to him, Genesis chapter 12, God said, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. And all peoples on earth, all peoples on earth, will be blessed through you. Said that to Abraham. Now, if you know anything about good interpretation of the Bible, you know that this promise did not die with Abraham, but it continued onto his son Isaac. And it was continued onto his son Jacob. You see, God, when he makes a promise, God's promises are so big, it doesn't get fulfilled in just one lifetime. Sometimes God makes promises on your life that is so big, it takes generations to bring it to pass. And this promise that God made to Abraham, hallelujah, did not die with Abraham. But brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us that in Christ, we become heirs of this promise. Did you know that? Galatians 3:29 says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What is the promise talking about? It's talking about Genesis chapter 12. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Hallelujah. That promise is being fulfilled in your life, in this generation. Hallelujah. Do you see the gospel going to the nations? Do you see people being healed, delivered, set free from all peoples, all kinds of people, from all kinds of languages? It's happening. The promise made to Abraham is being fulfilled to today and in your life. And since we have inherited Abraham's promise, that means that God is going to bless all peoples, all nations through us. That means our destiny is not confined to this local community. Hallelujah. Some of us, we need to expand our vision. We need to get out of our box. God's call is not confined to this local community, but it is for the nations. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I believe that our physical children, I believe my physical children are going to go on, Lord willing. They're going to go on, and they're going to bless the nations. But I don't think that having lots of physical children is the means to fulfill this promise. It's not the only means to fulfill this promise, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. When God commanded us in Matthew 28 with the Great Commission, he said, go and make disciples of all nations. Hallelujah. When he gave the Great Commission like this, Jesus revealed to us that being fruitful is not about having lots of physical children, but being fruitful means having lots of spiritual babies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And, you know, giving birth to spiritual babies can be just as painful as giving birth to physical babies. Hallelujah. And it's difficult. It ain't easy. And if you think about the Apostle Paul, here was a man that blessed many, many nations. But did you know something about Paul? He was never married. Not that we know of, unless he had some wife that he was keeping a secret really, really, really well. And he didn't have a single physical child. But we know that the Apostle Paul was a blessing to the nations. Why? Because he had many, many spiritual children. Hallelujah. Spiritual offspring. Glory to God. You know, if being fruitful is confined to physical children, that means Paul failed to keep the Lord's command to be fruitful. But we know that he had numerous spiritual sons and daughters that he raised and cared for, sometimes with even more love than a natural mother may have for their own child. You know, one aspect of being fruitful, brothers and sisters, is having lots and lots of spiritual children. Now, let me ask you, let's get down to the real deal. Let's stop dodging the issue. I want you to ask yourself right now, how many spiritual children do I have? How many people have I led to the Lord? How many brothers and sisters have I discipled and nurtured in the faith? How many spiritual children do I have? And just like I mentioned, like having real children, hallelujah, it takes sacrifice. It takes prayer. It takes listening. It takes counseling. It takes teaching and rebuking. And just like you will raise up a natural child, raising a spiritual child is not easy. But hallelujah, brothers and sisters, when you give it all, when you give it your all, it's always worth it. It might be tough, but it's always worth it. You know, having been part of Campus Crusade for Christ, I've been part of CCC for about 10 years now. It's a college ministry that I'm involved with. And over those 10 years, from student to staff, I have enjoyed the privilege of just having lots and lots of spiritual children. And I'll tell you, there's no greater joy than just having lots and lots of spiritual children. I mean, I must have evangelized to about 500 people during my involvement with Campus Crusade for Christ. A lot of them strangers, right? And any Campus Crusade staff will tell you that. There's a few in here. And out of those 500, I would say I've brought over 50 people to Christ personally. I led them to the Lord on an airplane. I led them to the Lord during a Christian conference while we were out evangelizing. We realized that the sister that I was evangelizing with really wasn't a Christian. I got to lead her to the Lord. I got to lead them behind the dump truck, behind the NYU library. Hallelujah. I led them to Christ in a Barnes & Noble cafe. And after we prayed to receive Christ, a woman, a stranger that was sitting at the table adjacent to us, said, "Welcome to the kingdom of God, my brother." And that freaked that dude out. He was like, "Does this always happen?" I was like, "Hey, brother, it just tells you God's watching." Hallelujah. And Lord willing, the people I bring to Christ, I try to nurture their faith and point them to a life of faith. You know, sometimes I can't always nurture them. I can't always do follow-up with them. That's always according to the Lord's will. But when I can, I try to do that to the best I can. And truth be told, I haven't done that perfectly. But having so many babies, you know, I haven't always adequately cared for them all. You know? But the Lord has given me the grace to be able to experience that. I've also had select students that I've been able to mentor and disciple. And I can't say every student that I disciple, you know, I would look at, you know, I have a heart of spiritual father toward them. But, you know, not everyone that I do with is fruitful. But the ones where it has been fruitful, hallelujah, it's been wonderful. You know, my brother Marcus, back in June, if you remember, I got up here on stage and we rapped together. All right? Hallelujah. How many of y'all remember that rap? Yeah. Glory to God. Y'all didn't know I had hip-hop, right? I had some hip-hop in me. Brother Marcus, and then we rap. And we before we did that, you don't know all the months leading up to that. I got to disciple this young brother. And the Lord was just pouring out into his life. And he has such a humble and teachable heart. And all along those weeks, from the beginning of our discipleship, he made a lot of mistakes. But when he made those mistakes, I didn't point them out. I just kept on pointing him to Jesus. And he kept on responding. And he kept on repenting. And he kept on the right path. And hallelujah, it has been such a joy to have him as my spiritual little brother. As a spiritual child, if you will. One of the main reasons I love serving with CCC is because I get to do this as my job. People support me financially and prayerfully so that I get to do this for a living. I mean, hallelujah. It's one of the best jobs I think that is out there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And brothers and sisters, when God says all throughout the scriptures, and even in the New Testament, when he says, be fruitful, be fruitful, be fruitful and increase. One of the aspects in which you can be fruitful is to have lots of spiritual babies. Hallelujah. And if you can't think of anybody right now, you know what? Why don't you start today? Ask God to give you the heart of a spiritual father or mother. Ask God to make you a discipler. And maybe you're not ready for that. You're not fit for that. Well, maybe you need to get discipled yourself. Hallelujah. When you get discipled yourself, that's when God releases you to be a discipler. Hallelujah. But make no mistake about it. God wants you to be fruitful. You know, and a bigger umbrella of being fruitful is just good works. Good works. When you do good works out of a pure motive for the Lord, hallelujah, it brings joy to the Father. He loves that kind of fruit. Deliverance, when you help heal somebody, when you even go out and you build hospitals in third world countries, when you are ministering to orphans, those good works is fruit. And God loves it when you're fruitful like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good works. Good works. Let us be fruitful unto good works, brothers and sisters. Now, another aspect of being fruitful is in the aspect of character. Hallelujah. And if you remember, Pastor Sam did a 9-part series for the last few weeks on the fruit of the Spirit. Right? It's interesting. The Bible chooses to use the word fruit as a word picture for character. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Hallelujah. And in this respect, along this line, God wants you to be fruitful. God wants you to be a man that is full of character. A woman of virtue. Hallelujah. He doesn't want you just going out and doing good things. I mean, you could do a lot of good things and still be a jerk. And nobody wants to work with you. You could do good things and you would do it alone. But if you got the fruit of character in your life, hallelujah, where one will put 1,000 to flight, two put 10,000 to flight. When the kingdom of God, when the people of God work together, there is synergy. You know, 1 + 1 = 2. Well, synergy says 1 + 1 = 3. Hallelujah. That you and someone else can do a lot more for God's kingdom than you and you doing things alone separately. Hallelujah. He wants us to show forth the fruit of love from a heart of love. He wants us to bear actions of patience from a heart of patience. He wants us to bring forth shouts of joy from a heart of joy. He wants us to have character. I mean, what good is it for us to act in love, but in our hearts we're despising the very people inside? You know, like example, you know, when I wash dishes for my roommates. Hallelujah. You know, when you some of y'all might do the dishes for your roommates, and you're like, man, this is an action of love. God should reward me for this, man. Dirty dishes. And you're doing these dishes. And you got the fruit of action. Good or good works. But your heart's soiled. Your heart is despising the very people you're doing the dishes for. That's not a heart of love. That's not the fruit of character. That's like the fruit of self-righteousness. Right? Hallelujah. What good is it for you to take on an action of love without a heart of love? See, God looks at the heart. Hallelujah. And He wants us to reflect the true character of Christ. And you know, this isn't easy. And that's why I think the Bible uses the word fruit. Because fruit, as you know, takes time to grow, right? And Pastor Sam mentioned this over and over again. Fruit takes time to grow. We never go up to a tree full of cure or oranges, right? And you know, one day we see it and then come back the next day and get angry at that tree for not having more cure, right? You wait because it takes time for that cure to grow, for that fruit to grow. In the same way, you got to be patient with yourself. You got to be patient with the fruit of character in your life. That character is going to take a lifetime. It's going to take a lifetime journey for you to come to Christ's likeness. But hallelujah, you will reach it. Just stay humble. Stay tender before the Lord. Now, I'm mentioning, you know, different ways that we can be fruitful, right? Hallelujah. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. And you might be asking yourself, well, Christian, that's great. But I tried in the past. And my life is just not bearing that much fruit. What can I do to be more fruitful? If I was just honest, my life is pretty selfish. It's really about me. I want it to be about others. How can I bear more fruit? All right, well, let's look at the passage. John chapter 15. If you look in this passage, there are two things mentioned about being fruitful. One is our responsibility. All right, look at verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, what will he do? He will bear much fruit. Somebody say that. Fruit. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Number one is our part. We got to remain in him. That's why we got to have devotions before the Lord. We got to have quiet time with the Lord. We got to pray in the Spirit. We got to have private times of prayer as well as corporate times of prayer. Hallelujah. We got to remain in Him. We got to study the Word of God. Because when God's Word, when you're remaining in the Word of God, then He'll remain in you. That's our part. We got to practice His presence. Hallelujah. A lot of times, we practice TV. We practice Facebook. We practice turning on some secular hip-hop. Hallelujah. You know, I used to have a habit of just turning on Tupac. All right, I just confess, all right? Hallelujah. Before the congregation, I just confess. All right, all the way until I graduated from college. All right, I just had a habit where I just turned on Tupac. Why? His music's pretty good. All right? He was gifted. All right? You know, praise the Lord. He should have used those gifts for God. But, you know, he just used it for himself. But he has some good music. He has some good, deep lyrics. Hallelujah. And, you know, growing up, you know, on, you know, some rough neighborhoods, you know, I related to some of the lyrics. But I had a habit of turning him on. And I had a practice of just turning him on. I'd come home, turn him on. I'd be, you know, walking to school, I'd turn him on. You know, I'd be like, yeah, of course I want peace on the streets, but realistically, all right, anyway. So, you know, but brothers and sisters, we need to practice not doing these things. We got to practice His presence. How do we keep His presence always with us? You know, it's a practice. It doesn't come naturally. Your flesh will fight against it. Your flesh doesn't want the presence of God with you all the time. That's why we need the fire of God. We need the fire of God to burn away all flesh. We need to deny ourselves because that flesh still remains. Hallelujah. But if we practice His presence, will continually remain in Him. If you do all these things, quiet times, Bible studies, all these things, to remain in Him, that's our part. We will be fruitful. You will be fruitful. And then there's God's part. Look at verse 2. There's something interesting I want to point out. It says, He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. Hallelujah. Everybody say pruning. Pruning. You know, in my humble opinion, I would say that I was quite fruitful when I did ministry at Columbia University. Hallelujah. All right, this is my humble opinion, all right? I don't got to put false modesty on, all right? There was some fruitfulness that I experienced when I was at Columbia University. But 2.5 years ago, God pruned me and He brought me to Korea. Now, when God first put that on my heart, it didn't make no sense. I said, God, I thought You at least wanted me at Columbia for at least 2 more years. Let me finish out the term. At least 4 years of ministry. Let me see these spiritual babies go on to graduate. But God said, uh-uh. I got a different plan for you. And He started speaking to me through dreams and prophetic words and through different signs and confirmations. And in order to come to Korea, I had to endure the pain of leaving New York. It wasn't easy. But as I look back, I know that I would not have grown nearly as much if I had stayed in New York City. Even in college, when I was mentored by Brother Michael, the guy that I always mention in my sermons, right? Brother Michael, right? I had a wonderful mentorship with him. But in my senior year in college, although I was learning so much and was being blessed so much, God pruned me out of His church. And He brought me to a Presbyterian church in New Jersey, where I was very uncomfortable. Where spiritually, it was very difficult. And it was a bigger congregation, and there were new challenges. And I believe that God was pruning me to make me more fruitful. Brothers and sisters, God does that. God prunes us. He takes us out of our comfort zones and places us in a place that is new. He takes away friends that you've known for years to bring you to new friends that you might be more fruitful. You lose a job and you're tempted to get upset at God. But God is looking upon you with favor. When God prunes a person, it's a good thing. Amen? If things are going well and suddenly God places you in a new city, a new job, a new church, brothers and sisters, don't get anxious. God's making you more fruitful. Amen? When God prunes a church and He moves its leaders and He brings in new leadership, don't be alarmed. It's not the end of the world. God is making you more fruitful. God is making that church more fruitful. Sometimes God's got to do stuff like that. You know, when the church plant with Pastor David happened last year, about 1.5 years ago, there are a lot of people that got very disillusioned. But when I prayed about it, I had a lot of peace. And I felt like Pastor David was doing the right thing. I felt like he was following the Lord's leading. And I felt like Pastor Sam was following the Lord's leading by staying. And personally, I didn't think Pastor Sam, I didn't think he would do a good job. And I was worried. I was like, but then when I prayed about it, God wanted me to stay. And I had all these questions. I was like, God, why are You making everybody so uncomfortable? Everybody's so disillusioned. Everybody's going through all this hurt and disillusionment. What good can come out of this? But as I look back, if you look at the congregation of Jubilee and you look at the congregation of JSCM, there is more fruitfulness from this pruning process than if just nothing had changed. The Word of God says that those who are bearing much fruit, God prunes to make you more fruitful. When God prunes, it's a good thing. Amen? Pruning is painful, but don't you forget, pruning is for your own good. Tell your neighbor that. Pruning is painful, but it's for your own good. Come on, say it and mean it. You know, when I look at JSCM, I see a church that is on fire. When I see JSCM, I see a congregation on which God is pouring out His Spirit. And it's been wonderful, amen? But did you know there's a danger when a church takes the outpouring of God's Spirit and bears no fruit? That's when trouble that God Himself will cause is on its way. You see, when God pours out His Spirit, it's always for His purpose. When God pours out His Spirit, it's so that we may be sanctified as His bride and go out as His witnesses. It's not just for you to just have spiritual growth. Of course, that's part of it. But when He pours out His Spirit, it says Acts 1:8, then you will receive power and you will be my what? My witnesses. When God pours out His Spirit on a church, it's so that that church can be sent out. It's so that that church can be fruitful. But when a church takes the outpouring and bears no fruit, when a church doesn't walk in holiness, when a church will not step out of their comfort zone, when a church refuses to make sacrifices to serve others, to serve people in the mission sphere, when the church refuses to be His witness and just stays within the confines of the church, you may be surprised to find that the very God who blessed the church will curse that church and will cause it to wither and be fruitless. If you read in Isaiah 5, verse 5 and 6, it says, now I will tell you what I am going to do with my vineyard. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. In the time of the prophet Elijah, do you know who was responsible for the drought? God was responsible for the drought. When you see a church experiencing wasteland, desert, fruitlessness, many times it's not Satan who is responsible for that. God is the one who is responsible for that. God will bless the church, but make no mistake about it. If that church will not bear fruit, God will curse that church and will turn it into a wasteland. Oh, hallelujah. We're not going to get much amen for that. It's going to get real quiet, real quick. But this is the word of God, brothers and sisters. In Mark 11:12, it's an interesting story. Jesus, walking along, sees a fig tree. Now, he goes over to the fig tree, hoping to find some fruit. When he doesn't see fruit, all he sees is leaves on this fig tree. When he doesn't see any fruit, Jesus says, may no one eat of your fruit ever again. And when we read that text, it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Take it easy, master. What did that little fig tree do? This is a poor little fig tree. And if you keep reading on, you know, just a little bit later, we read that Jesus, he enters the temple and he starts turning over tables, and he starts whipping people. Get out of here! You taking my house of prayer and turning it into a den of robbers. And he's just going crazy. And the disciples are like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Master, whoa. Looks like Jesus didn't have his prayer time this morning. What's going on? I mean, Jesus was really having a bad day. What's going on? And the very next morning, as Jesus passes by that fig tree that he curses, he doesn't even look at it, you know? The disciples are like, whoa, yo, check out that fig tree. Remember the fig tree Jesus curses? Yo, man, it's like withered out from the roots. It's crazy. Yo, Jesus is not even looking at the tree, just walking away. And Peter's like, look, Rabbi, the tree that you cursed yesterday, the little tree that did nothing wrong, that you cursed, it's withered out. It's dead. And Jesus goes, have faith in God. What? We're talking about the fig tree, Jesus. What's that all about? Jesus cursed the fig tree because of one simple reason. Because it didn't bear fruit. When God pours out His Spirit and you do not bear fruit, there will come a time when God will cause your spiritual life to become a wasteland. God is responsible for the spiritual drought that you're experiencing. When a church does not bear fruit, when all a church has is leaves, you know, the programs, the exterior, the rituals, the finances, the buildings, etc. If all a church has is leaves and is not bearing fruit, God will command the clouds not to rain. And He will be the one that will force a spiritual drought. Look back onto John 15, verse 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. If you read on, verse 6, he says, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into fire, and burned. Now, I don't think Jesus is saying, he's not talking about salvation here. He's not saying, if you don't bear any fruit, you are burned in the fires of hell. I don't think Jesus is saying that. And you know, I ain't laughing because that's not a laughing matter. He's not saying that. We must be careful in handling the Word of God. Because Jesus spoke in parables. He made it hidden. The secrets of His kingdom. He made it hidden by speaking in parables. And the way you get the true meaning of a parable is to interpret it. Jesus is not saying that if you don't bear fruit, He'll cast you into the lake of fire. Jesus is saying that if you don't bear fruit, you will in effect be cut off. And your spiritual life will wither. And you will bear no fruit. Make no mistake about it. There are no Christians in the kingdom of God that are bearing little fruit. There are those who bear much fruit. And then there are those who bear no fruit. And then there are those who are on their way to much fruit. It looks like they're bearing little fruit. But they're on their way to much fruit. Okay. But there's only two kinds really, all right? Well, three if you count the middle. But they're really on their way to much fruit, so they're really over here. But it's really those who bear much fruit and those who bear no fruit. But you will not find many Christians who are bearing just little fruit. No, that ain't fruit. It's just leaves. A lot of Christians will bear leaves, but I have no fruit. Think about that. Have you ever met Christians that are born again? But their spiritual walk has just withered. And sometimes you even doubt their salvation. You're just like, what's going on? Are they even saved? And you think, oh, that must be it. They're not truly born again. That's why they're living like that. And you just wonder, why? Why is my youth group president living such a worldly life? And some of them, it's true, they were never true Christians to begin with. But there are many who are true Christians. In a Barna research group says that 90% of students that grew up in the church, they go to college, and they stop going to church. Why is that happening? Why are these true Christians not bearing any fruit? They're bearing no fruit. Why are they withered? Why are they cut off? Why are they fruitless when God has commanded us to be fruitful? Well, that's because the Word of God is saying here in this parable, this is the destiny of anyone who is fruitless after God sends his rain. God will bring you through a season of blessing. God will bring you through a season of outpouring. But after you experience that, if you refuse to step out, if you refuse to speak the word of God, if you stay in your comforts and you stay fruitless, God will cause your spiritual life to wither. And you will bear no fruit. The word of God says, to him who has, more will be given. But to the servant who hid his one talent, what happened? Even what he had was taken from him. God says, give me that talent, and takes it away. To him who has, more will be given. But to him who does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. That's the word of God. Now the logical question one may ask is, what's the big deal with all this fruit? Why is God so concerned with fruit? Why can't I just enjoy an intimate relationship with God and get to heaven with a minimal amount of fruit? Why can't I just live a life of minimal fruit? Why will not God allow me just to have little fruit? Why does God want me to bear so much fruit? If you look in verse 8, that gives you the answer. Jesus says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. God loves fruit because God loves his glory. God loves fruitfulness because it increases his fame. It increases praise, worship, glory. God tells us, be fruitful in order that his glory may be lifted up to all nations. And when we bear much fruit, we bring glory to the Lord. When we bear much fruit, we show a lost world who it is that we are truly following. And we show him, we show them that he is the living God. You will bear much fruit. This will be to my Father's glory. And you will show yourselves to be my disciples. When you show a lost world, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, the living God, the Son of the living God. If you say that, people should be able to see that and say, wow, all that fruit in your life, God must be living. But if you have no fruit, you can say it all you want. It will be empty. God wants us to bear fruit, brothers and sisters. Leviticus 26, 3, 9, and 11 says, if you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will look on you with favor and make you fruitful. And I will put my dwelling among you. Hallelujah. If you guys are hungry for more of God's presence, and you want his presence to stay and never go, and you want more of the outpouring, and you want more of the glory, what you're really asking for is more fruitfulness as well. Because when you walk in his ways, he'll show you favor and he'll make you fruitful. Brothers and sisters, may God look upon you with favor and make you fruitful in 2008. May God make JSCM, may God look upon JSCM with favor and make it fruitful in 2008. May we be fruitful and then increase the supremacy of God to all nations. Because remember the Abrahamic promise. You will be a blessing to all peoples. Will be blessed. All peoples will be blessed through you. That promise is yours. Hallelujah. And God wants you to be fruitful. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon this place. The Spirit of the Lord is upon this place. And he's searching the hearts of men. And when I was preaching the Word of God, about people who bear no fruit. People who refuse to step out. People who refuse to step out in faith. And they end up experiencing drought, deserts. I'm here to tell you that the God who caused the wasteland is ready to restore streams of living water in your life. In Isaiah it says, streams of living water, streams of water, I will bring it out in the desert, in the wasteland. If you have been experiencing fruitlessness, your spiritual life has been a desert, a wasteland, a striving after God, but finding nothing to hold on to. I want you to respond to with faith today. If that's you, if you see that your life has been bearing no fruit, and you are tired of that life, and you want to heed the command of God to be fruitful, I want you to stand up and respond with faith, because the God who has cut you off, He will restore you. And when God restores a person, oh, He will make them fruitful. He will make them fruitful beyond anything that they can ever imagine or think. Hallelujah. 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 The anointing of the Lord. The anointing of the Spirit is flowing through this place. And when the anointing is flowing, you wanna grab hold. You wanna get filled. You wanna be touched. Ask the Lord. While the anointing is here, ask the Lord, touch me. And for those who are standing, hallelujah, ask the Lord, respond in your own way. God, make me fruitful, Lord. Lord, I want to be fully surrendered to you. Hallelujah. I want to be fully repentant before you, oh God.